Mini episode 416 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 416. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris welcoming you to the festivities, and we have two very distinguished FDH Lounge longtime dignitaries joining us today for our annual Triple Crown Draft, our fantasy draft that we have done. We'll do this as a way of killing two birds with one stone, A, illustrating how you and your friends can put together a little bit of a pool to make watching the Triple Crown a little bit more of an interactive process. You don't have to get to the track or actually bet on individual horses. This will be with a stable of three horses apiece. We'll be doing this in a standard serpentine draft style. The gentleman who drew first in our four-person draft is actually longtime FDH Lounge dignitary Steve Kappas, good friend of ours, who, of course, continues to do his own show on the STN.net. You can keep listening to him Monday through Friday, noon Eastern time, as that show, I believe, is now in its third year. Steve, also a longtime talk show host in the New York area, and you've been able to catch him from time to time on WVOX, WFAN, of course, SNY. I speak, of course, once again, as I say, of my good friend, Steve Kappas. Good to have him on, as always. Steve, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Rick. Great to be with you.
Great to have you on, and again, congratulations on drawing the pole position, as it were, in our mock draft here today. By the way, FCH senior editor Jason Jones, who I will be going off of a list that he submitted, he is in the third spot. I am in the fourth spot. I unfortunately drew fourth, albeit that will give me the first pick in the second round. That leaves, of course, in the number two position, another longtime FDH Lounge dignitary and somebody who I have done a lot of broadcasting with over the years, my good friend, Bob Glassman. Of course, the truth always hurts with this gentleman. Bob, good to have you on, my man. How are you today?
Rick, doing very well. Looking forward to the first Saturday in May. And hopefully, I think my luck in the past number of years on the show has been akin to that of the Indians' recent West Coast road trip. So hoping for better things.
The less we speak of that, the better. That was singularly ugly, even by the recent standards of this franchise. So the way that we've done this in the past here, and you can always go to fantasydrafthealth.com to check out how we do things in the different sports here. This is one of our niche drafts that we've done, one of our niche sports, not a traditional fantasy sports haven. But the way that we have done it is 15 points for winning a race, 10 points for placing, and 5 points for show. If we have a tie to be broken at the end of this thing here, it'll be by which horse won their race by the most number of lengths. But a lot of the horses that we draft today, frankly, aren't even going to go on to the Preakness or the Belmont. That's how it's gone in recent years. So there's a real premium, of course, on winning the Kentucky Derby. As I indicated, Steve, you're in the pole position here. You drew the number one spot, so you will draft first in the first and third rounds and last in the second round. So obviously you want to make this one count. It might have been, in the mind of a lot of people, perhaps a two-horse race, pardon the pun, between Hopportunity and California Chrome, but Hopportunity a late scratch after the poll results came out and after the draw was done in Louisville to see where everybody was going to be. A little bit of a foot injury, I understand, or at least a little bit of a suspicious issue there. Does that make it a real easy pick for California Chrome, or are you going to go in another direction?
Well, you know I'm going another direction. If this was the NFL draft, Rick, I would trade down because there's no way I'll pick the favorite in the Kentucky Derby, so someone behind me will happily take California Chrome if I'm not picking until the eighth pick after this one. But for my first pick, I'll take number 20, Wicked Strong. He won the Wood. He was very, very good. If you actually watch the race, he didn't fall into this race. He raced really well, ran over some decent horses, and I just frankly think that California Chrome, and I don't know if we're going to go into the analysis of the whole race later, but I think there's so much speed in this race, and you mentioned that Opportunity was scratched. Now that 21 Pablo Del Monte gets in, he goes from the 20 pole. Wicked Strong will go from the 19. As you know, lately in the Derby in 2012, I'll have another one from the 19. Years ago, people would say nobody could win from out there. But all three of the winners of the last three Derbies, Animal Kingdom, I'll have another, and Orb, all started from that auxiliary gate. So I'm going to go with Wicked Strong, and I'll save the rest of my analysis for later.
Okay. I figure it will do this. So I'll make Bob's pick next, and then I'm going to rattle off, of course, the four picks in a row, pick for Jason, my two to come in a row, and then Jason and again, and that'll give you two fine analysts a chance to discuss our four picks and maps there. Before we get to that, of course, that leaves Bob. So in some ways, Bob, a little bit of an enviable position. You have a chance to grab the favorite, but as Steve so astutely pointed out, that doesn't always get you anywhere in the Kentucky Derby. And you, of course, Bob, are somebody who we all know likes to come at things from different angles. So I get a sense that this pick may not be as obvious as some might suspect.
As I let off, Rick, with my being on the schneid the last number of years here, I am going to go with California Chrome. That's about time for me to try to get a winner. He certainly seems the most logical horse. Sound, not going from a bad post position, and I will take the obvious, California
okay.
Chrome.
All right, an interesting pick before we get to the next four in a row. I'm sorry, go ahead, Bob, and then let's get some thoughts from Steve on that.
I was going to go with Wicked Strong next. If for anything, my a friend of mine, Peter Horvitz, a native Clevelander, is one of the owners of the horse, and it's always good. I rarely, if ever, get a chance to root for a buddy who's got a horse running in the Derby. So my sentiments will be with Steve's pick.
That's a real rarity, yeah, any kind of a Cleveland connection like that. But what are your thoughts, Steve? Again, I know that you didn't want to go on the favorite, but what do you think some of the relative merits are of California Chrome, such that it's been installed as a pretty good favorite at this point?
Well, he's won four races in a row by over 24 lengths. He's easily on paper the best horse. He has the highest buyer figures. I'm sure your listeners know about these things. And again, I think generally speaking, Bob is right. If you really could be in a pool and pick one horse and you were just picking any horse and they were all going to be equal, absolutely, I think I would pick California Chrome. For my own betting purposes, frankly, and handicapping purposes over the year, generally speaking, it's good to throw the favorite out at the Derby because you immediately get value on your other horses. And the favorite in the Derby, I think Big Brown was the last one 5 or 6 years ago, last favorite. It's just so hard because just from a California Chrome perspective now, he leaves out of the five, and there's going to be so much speed in this race. And I understand he has the tactical speed to try and lay off the leaders. But, you know, I watched his races at Santa Anita. The last race he was in, the Santa Anita Derby, and he was monstrous. I mean, you can't fault him for what he's done. But there were only eight horses in that race. The race before that he won out there, I think it was called the King Glorious. I'm not even sure what it was called. There were only seven horses in there. So what's going to happen when the gate opens and there's 20 horses? As you know, it's a cavalry charge. So I prefer the horses who are able to. I'm hoping, frankly, that Wicked Strong can race like I'll Have Another. And he left from the 19. He kind of tucked into that middle secondary pack, 6th, 7th, 8th. There was a big speed duel on the front end, like I think there will be this year. And then I'll Have Another was able to run them over in the stretch, like I'm hoping Wicked Strong could do, just as he did in the Wood. So, yes, California Chrome on paper is not just the best. He's much the best. And I've already heard some experts, I'll put that in quotes, talking about California Chrome Triple Crown winner. The problem with that, and that's maybe for another day, is I don't know if there's any horse nowadays who can really win three times on three different tracks at three different lengths, including a mile and a half in the Belmont, in just 5 weeks. I've written articles forever. They should do first Saturday in May, first Saturday in June for the Preakness, first Saturday in July for the Belmont, and first Saturday in August for the Travers, you know, which they call the fourth leg of the Triple Crown. But For whatever reason, they continue. I'm as traditional as the next guy, but to race these horses three times in 5 weeks, I think will be tough. So if California Chrome does win the Derby, he'll be the overwhelming favorite in the Preakness, but then maybe we'll come back and talk, and I'll say I don't think he can win the Belmont. I just don't think it's doable. But, yeah, on paper, he's not only the best. He's much the best, and I think he's also going to go off pretty low because there's really not too many other horses to bet. As you said, Rick, once Opportunity was scratched, that really was going to be your second betting favorite. And, again, I think had he drawn inside Wicked Strong, had he been in the 4 or the 7 or the 10, you know, somewhere in there, that he would be lower than he's going to be. I think you'll get some value from out there.
Great points. And, again, a typical, very crafty Bob Glassman pick because it's occurring to me as we're talking about this here. Bob, you have a very good chance to not just get value in the Derby here, but possibly beyond because, again, if none of these horses win the Derby that we're going to be picking today, which could very well happen, just by having a horse that places or even shows, you may be the leader in this thing and you may rack up more points subsequently. So you don't even have to win outright to be the points leader in this thing, Bob. So that could work for you on that level as well, even if there is a little bit of a Derby favorite jinx.
Rick, as Steve pointed to, I'll probably use California Chrome a little bit, but in a 20-horse field, as Steve mentioned, as you have, there's a lot of luck involved. It's just not a jockey. It's more of a jockey's nightmare than dream, although dream to be in the race. And I will go for more of the longer shots when I do my parimutuels. And I liked Steve's idea. I hadn't heard it before, but one that merits some idea about changing the intervals between the Triple Crown races. I'm thinking that as a traditionalist as I am as well, that TV ratings merit everything these days. And you have a much better chance of getting a horse eligible for it if there is 4 weeks between the first and second and second and third races. Interesting proposal. I hadn't heard that bandied about before.
It really is. So we're not only showing folks today how to draft and how to set up a little bit of a pool here with their friends, but also I would like to think solving some of the ills of the industry, if only they would listen to us here, a way to make things a little bit better if the powers that be are tuning in, and hopefully they are. The next four horses are about to come off the board here, and we'll get some evaluation from you guys afterwards. The next pick, the third one, goes to FDA senior editor Jason Jones. I'm going off of the list that he submitted to me. Intense Holiday is his selection. That leaves the end of the first round pick to me and the beginning of the second round pick right after that. I am going with Samrat to end the first round and General A-Rod in the second round here to start that off. And Jason is going with Ride On Curlin for his second round pick. So we get those four boom, 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 boom right out of the way. And let's get some thoughts from you guys before we move along subsequently. Be interested to know if you guys were eyeballing either of those horses. You're up next, Bob. I'll start with you. What are your thoughts, if any, on the four that just went?
Looked at those horses. A few of them were in my my second line of horses. I'll let Steve get into the detail about them. Ride On Curlin has Cal Burrell up, which is always a favorite in the recent years in the Derby. But I'll let Steve go into more detail. But those are logical picks. I didn't see anybody in there that threw me off.
I was just going to ask you, with Calvin Burrell, he's got to do some work to get it to the rail. Bob pointed out about that Jason's got a very good jockey there, but getting him to the rail is going to be a little bit of work.
Well, I think if anyone can do it, I have to say, out of these four picks, you've essentially taken my next three horses, so I can talk a little bit about virtually all of them. But Ride On Curlin, at a minimum, I'm going to wind up betting a 19-20-2019 exacta box Ride On Curlin and Wicked Strong, because if you watch Ride On Curlin's last race, he had just raced very well. You know, Calvin Burrell had ridden him in the past, was hurt for a few months, has not ridden him since, but his last start, which I thought was a very, very good start, he was two wide in the first turn. He was 3-4 and literally 5 wide in the final turn, and he finished a very good second to Danza. Now, a lot of people are picking Danza as the hot horse inside, one at 40-1. But again, if you watch the Arkansas Derby, which, as you know, nowadays is easily available on video, Danza had the greatest trip in the history of horse racing. And I'm not saying he wasn't good. In fact, he was very good. And by all accounts, his workouts at Churchill Downs are very good as well. But I think if you look at Danza's race as his race and Ride On Curlin's race as his race, even though Danza won, I think the astute handicapper will say, oh my goodness, Ride On Curlin was unbelievable. Now he gets a guy who somehow, some way, even from the 19, is going to get Ride On Curlin to the rail. Calvin Borel, as you know, 3 Derby winners, has become like a minor legend in the last decade after being a lifelong journeyman. So I think if he can go up the rail, and keep in mind at the top of the stretch in the Arkansas Derby, Danza, after a perfect trip, didn't even have to come out. He went right up the rail. If somehow, and I know it's hard, but if anyone can do it, Calvin Borel could do it. If he can somehow get in on the rail and get some room, I think Ride On Curlin can be right there, even win the race, and I think he's going to be telephone numbers. And from a betting perspective, when you go to a window, something I've never done, bet a 19-20 exacta. Give me the 19 over the 20. Give me the 20 over the 19. I've never even seen that before, but I think there's a chance here. So Ride On Curlin, had I been able to pick him, I also would have picked. Samrat, a very good horse. I've seen him race a number of times. You know, he won 5 in a row in New York before he got beat by Wicked Strong. So I think he has a license to be there as well. And Intense Holiday is becoming kind of the sleeper hot horse down there at Churchill. He's worked out very well. He's got that great combination of Johnny Velasquez and Todd Pletcher. I know Pletcher has only won one Derby, but it's only a matter of time until he wins two. He's got seemingly 3 or 4 in the Derby every single year. And again, this year, no exception, he's got 4 in the Derby. So those 3 specifically are horses that I might wind up boxing, you know, with Wicked Strong. And I'll use the favorite in, you know, exotics, as we discussed previously.
Well, I have to ask the follow-up. Bob, I know you like your curveballs in a lot of different walks of life. Have you ever boxed a 19 and a 20 in a race?
You know, it's funny. I haven't boxed a 19 and a 20 because generally, unless you're betting overseas, you're not going to get up to there in post positions. But since I'm always a favorite of, in general racing, not in the Kentucky Derby, of betting also eligibles, I do like going on the outside, even at the 6 panel track, such as Evangeline. Love hitting the 12-13s and at Aqueduct. I've bet many just plain also eligibles because they're that. Obviously, 19 and 20, nipping the Kentucky Derby, they're not. But I like betting outside horses, and I like Steve's exacta.
Yeah, I'm just reflecting here on the notion that, again, we are geographically separated. Bob, you and I being, of course, in the Northeast Ohio area, and Steve being out there in the New York area. Somehow, some way, we need to get the 3 of us to the track and just spend the day together at some time subsequently. I need to experience that with both of you guys. That is what is sinking into me as we go along here through our draft today. We're halfway through, 6 picks out of 12. Through this thing in the second round with the next to last pick here of the 4. That will come back to you, Bob. So you've got California Chrome. You start with the favorite. What are you going to add to your stable next?
Rick, I'll take one step back. If we're going to meet somewhere, we're going to go to the one track I've never been before and probably the one I've been most anxious to go to, although I've been there off season. If we're going to meet, I'd say we meet at Saratoga.
Ooh, I'd like that. I like that. But before you make your pick, Steve, thoughts about Saratoga? I'm sure you've probably been there.
Saratoga, the greatest. My birthday's in August. My friends take me up there one day, every year. It's a fantastic place. The Thoroughbred Hall of Fame is up there. And certainly if you guys are going to get from where you are to Saratoga, I'll make sure I'm there. But, yeah, I go there every year, and it is everything that it's made out to be. You know, if you have the time and the money to rent a house for a week, some people do. I can't, but some people do. It's a fantastic place to take a long weekend or even a week, and it is really the best of the best of the best are coming from everywhere for that Saratoga meet, which you probably know has kind of been extended of late, and I think it's a good idea, from 4 weeks to maybe 5 weeks. I think 1 year they went 6 weeks, but yeah, it's a fabulous place, and you guys as horse guys would absolutely love it because it really is fantastic.
Sounds like a plan. Now we're bringing travelogues to this. How many dimensions are we bringing to this today? This is absolutely incredible, everything that we're getting into here. So we're halfway home on this. Bob, not quite coming down the stretch yet, as it were, but we're starting to get there. Who are you adding to California Chrome?
Okay, well, now I'm going to go off the charts a little bit, albeit he's not a 50-to-1 morning line. Rather, I thought a little lower place at 15. Is Tapiture, and although I haven't liked his recent races a little bit, lugging out the last time and not showing as good in the Arkansas route as other horses have, but I'm going to go the route of going with a trainer and the one who was thrown out that have both been on the hot seat lately. I haven't been too thrilled with what's gone on in the world of the NBA lately, so to be the cause of reason, because I'm wondering if I say anything bad about a horse, am I going to be banned from the Kentucky Derby and from going to racetracks? Don't know. But Tapiture, as we know, has had a decent background, not a bad charge. Know that his jockey or his trainer has gotten into trouble, and Steve Asmussen is currently training him, has gotten into trouble. Scott Blasi was thrown off, taken out of training the horse because of problems with PETA. PETA's done a undercover work for 4 months of the Asmussen barn, and the usual drug cocktails, running the horses too much, electric charges, everything that you can do to a horse to try to will him to win. And for that reason, and that reason alone, I'm going to take the rebel stance, which to me is represented by Tapiture.
Yeah, well, these are perilous and unprecedented times, Bob, to be sure. Almost sounds like Mike Vick might be a minority owner in that stable. Steve, before you make your final two picks, Steve, thoughts on Bob's pick there?
I give him an outside shot. Again, we're getting now to, 9, 10, 11, 12, and certainly the four that I liked have really already been taken. Yeah, but, Tapiture at this point in the draft, if you will, is probably the best, if not, in my opinion, the second best, because I would have picked him with my second pick if Bob did not pick him.
Yeah, everything's vaporizing here for you, unfortunately, albeit theoretically. You will have three of the top nine picks based on how this is going here. So, as you may or may not have anticipated, the ones that you were really looking at have dried up one by one here. But out of what's left, how do you choose to end the second round and start the third round?
Yeah, I'm going to end the second round with Danza, who, as I said, did get the perfect trip. I'm a little uncomfortable picking a horse, Well, I don't know. Arkansas Derby winners, they don't usually win the Kentucky Derby, but we've already discussed the second-place finisher, who, again, I like Game on Carlin because he gets Burrell back, and Burrell had ridden him a while ago, was hurt, and is now getting him back. And he's got three derbies, all three up the rails. So that's the reason I picked Right on Carlin, not because he was even in the Arkansas Derby. But Danza was very good. People were shocked. He got the greatest trip in the history of the world, but he's got a decent post inside four. Joey Bravo's pretty good. Pletcher's Pletcher. That's one of his four. So I'll go with my eighth pick, my second pick. I'll go with Danza. And for my ninth pick, I'm going way back here now, but I'll go with Gary Stevens and Candy Boy, who is another one, 18. Maybe I'll box the 18, 19, and 20 in the triple. That I'm just kidding about, but they're in the mix, those horses, I think. But, Gary Stevens has made one of the most incredible comebacks, retired for 7 years. He's just been unbelievable. So I think he has a chance, but, of course, California Chrome just blew him away. And California Chrome, again, is inside. and Gary Stevens is going to have a long way to come from the 18. But again, as the ninth pick, I'll go with number 18, Candy Boy, with Gary Stevens.
Okay. How did that go for you, Bob? Did you get viciously snaked with your those two picks there, or are you going to get the one that you were looking at dropping to you?
No, I probably would have gone for one of two, one of both in that order of what Steve took. And I'll tell you what I'm not going to do on my last pick, which really looking flyers. I'm not going to go on my on normal parts of jockeys or hunches or just name betting horse because of its name. I'm not going to bet on Rosie Napavrik as much as I like mm-hmm. Rosie. I really do. Probably more ways than horse racing. But anyways, Vickers in Trouble, I think, is aptly named. And I go back to an old theory, which hasn't worked every year the last several, but I go to the dosage index. And Vickers in Trouble doesn't make it. Vinciramos doesn't make it. And Wildcat Red doesn't make it on the dosage. So that one, and being, as you know, Rick, I'm a big fan of Howard Stern, and I do miss Artie Lang on the Howard Stern show, but there's no way I'm going to go with We Miss Artie. I think that's a great horse, shorter distance, maybe the turf, not the Derby. And I will go with Metal Count.
14. Metal Count is there, yes. Okay.
I like Robbie Alvarado. I like him at Churchill, and not a bad horse.
Okay.
I think, you know, he may be better as in the tries and the supers, but we'll hope for a little luck in the 20 horse field.
Okay. Rounding this thing out, Jason's last pick off of the list that I'm going off of here, he's going for Wildcat Red, and I am going subsequently with Dance with Fate. So before I read through everyone's teams here all at once, let's just get some thoughts on the last two picks here. Start with you, Steve. Thoughts on Wildcat Red and Dance with Fate?
Well, certainly Dance with Fate. I took a look at the knock nowadays, which is what's happened to Keeneland in the last few years. You know what's happened lately with these poly tracks, these synthetic racetracks. In the past, the winner of the Bluegrass would be a prime contender for the Kentucky Derby. Dance with Fate did win the Bluegrass, but again, unfortunately, at least to me and many others, since Keeneland's installed that poly track, the Bluegrass winners haven't really done that well in the Derby. As you know, it's a different, it's a synthetic turf as opposed to the dirt that they race on. Could he be okay here? Yeah, he could be okay. He is a closer, and I think a closer is going to win the Derby. Again, much as California Chrome might be the best, if he blasts out of there with these other speed horses, I think it's going to be hard for him to go the distance, although, again, he's been unbelievable. California Chrome doesn't really have the breeding to go a mile and a quarter, but it certainly looked to me, at least at the Santa Anita Derby, that he could have gone around again and they weren't going to catch him. But specifically with Dance with Fate, I think it's a negative if you're a Derby owner who wants to have a Derby horse to race your horse, this is just me talking now, to race your horse at Keeneland because they changed the track a few years ago. I just don't think it's going to be a shock, I'll say, if a winner of the Bluegrass on the poly track comes back a month later and wins the Kentucky Derby. Wildcat Red, you know, he's got ability, certainly. He's won a couple of races at Gulfstream this winter. The problem for me is he's another horse who likes the front end. So, again, this could be one of the fastest first halves in the history of the Kentucky Derby because you have horses inside and outside with speed, and I just think I'm saying it's going to be hard for California Chrome, so I think it's going to be impossible for horses like Wildcat Red or Pablo Del Monte now on the far outside, or any horse who blasts out of there and tries to get the front end.
Good points. As far as it goes with Dance with Fate, yeah, if that horse with its closing ability is able to steal me even a show position here at the rail, I'll be thrilled out of that for a third round pick. Bob, do you have any thoughts on either Wildcat Red or Dance with Fate?
I have one comment and one question, not about the horses in particular. Steve makes a good comment about Keeneland and the poly track, which is, I think, why they are going back to dirt next year, I think for that exact reason. And especially at Keeneland, it just seems like they go together. the stateliness of Keeneland, I don't think deserves a poly track, and they're going to go back to a dirt surface next year, which is, agrees with Steve's opinion. And Steve, a question for you: what do you see the first? What do you see him going at in the first half?
Goodness gracious! You know, I don't even know, but I think it's going to be, put a gun to my head, 22 in a piece, 46, which at a mile and a quarter is flying. Maybe 45 in a piece. I'll be shocked if it's, you know, 23, 47, 4.
Really? Wow.
But I could be wrong. You got a ton of guys who are just going to go for the lead, who really think that the lead is going to be better. But I think there's so many of them, including California Chrome. So I just don't really know. I'll say 46-2, put a gun to my head. And if that's true, then you can look to the back for your winner.
And Rick, that's a, you know, it's always a good point when you're watching a race. Obviously, it's too late when you're betting it. But during the race, if you watch the fraction times, and if you know a little bit about horse racing, and you can see fraction times if you buy a program of what's fast or not, obviously. We know too much about the fraction times, I think. But you can pretty much judge if your horse has a better chance of winning either from the back or on the front end, depending on how the in this case, the first half mile goes. And I agree with Steve that somebody wants to get out of the horses. Somebody wants to get out in the lead. And although it's not like the Indianapolis 500, you don't get money for time that you spent on the lead. But somebody will want to do it, and somebody probably realizes they probably don't have much of a chance to hang on is going to go out. I agree, in sub 47 seconds.
Great points there. And again, I would expect nothing else from our prime horse racing analysts in the FDH Lounge. Absolutely. It comes down to the alignment of the skill set of the horses to the circumstances. And that, again,
hey,
if you're a speed horse and the pace is brutal, you're SOL. But absolutely. Yes, Steve.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk briefly at least about Art Sherman, who is the 77-year-old trainer at California Chrome. You know, frankly, I'll be happy if this guy wins the race. It's so interesting to me that here was a guy, Art Sherman, 77-year-old trainer of California Chrome, who in 1955 was an exercise rider for Swaps, who won the 1955 Kentucky Derby. I think this is such a great story. This guy's a lifer. He's not a Todd Pletcher or a Baffert or one of these guys that we hear and see and read about every year. This guy's a guy who's been on the back stretch, well, since at least 1955 and presumably a couple of years before that, if he was good enough to be the exercise rider for a Kentucky Derby winner. So I think it's a fantastic story, and if it could come out where you could want the guy you want to win, it would be Art Sherman. But I'll say it again, it's such a tough thing for the favorite and slash a horse who goes to the lead to win the Derby. It's the only time, as Bob said, where there's really 20 in a race in America anyway. So I think it's going to be very difficult, but I certainly won't be unhappy. I'll be a little poorer, but I won't be unhappy if California Chrome wins the Derby because of his trainer.
Great point. And again, I wonder, and I'll be interested to see if any of the mavens at 538.com want to take this up, the notion of whether or not it's unusual, or if we're due for a couple of Kentucky Derby favorites to start winning in the years to come here. It would be interesting to know whether or not it's a little bit of a statistical anomaly that it's happened so infrequently, especially in recent years. And we'll, of course, have to see what the next 10 years or so look like. And, again, if we're about due for a one or more to start popping, then this could be a good year to have Bob's team, because he has, of course, California Chrome, Tapiture, and Metal Count. Steve with Wicked Strong, Danza, and Candy Boy. Jason with Intense Holiday, Ride On Curlin, and Wildcat Red. I have Samrat, General A-Rod, and Dance with Fate. I want to get to any remaining things that we didn't hit in the course of the draft here, anything else that people should be looking at when they go to watch the race here on Saturday and any of the subsequent Triple Crown races. So, Steve, I'll start with you. Anything we didn't get to yet that we should have?
Well, if we had just come on and picked selections for this show, I would have picked Wicked Strong to win, but I think I'm going to try a four-horse box in exactas and triples and maybe superfectas, but I'm going to use a bunch of outside horses, as we discussed. I'm going to take Intense Holiday, which I know Jason picked. Intense Holiday, Ride On Curlin, Wicked Strong, and California Chrome on the inside, of course. And I'm going to use those four horses in exactas, triples, superfectas. That's what I'm going to be betting tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds like very interesting picks there and some good high percentage combinations. Bob, anything that we didn't get to that you think we should have gotten to thus far?
No, the only thing that I heard is that the weather's supposed to be sunny, low 70s, so any bias that you have four horses running on a good track or you have against horses or four horses that like prefer mutters in their pedigree, that should not be a factor Saturday afternoon.
I've heard the same thing weather-wise, and unfortunately, I think FDH Lounge dignitary Kyle Ross went to his first Kentucky Derby a year early because he was there in the slop last year. I remember seeing the pictures on Facebook and the ponchos, and it looked like he and the group weren't necessarily having the great time that they could be having this year. But, again, it's just great to be in Triple Crown season. Saturday, March 3rd, kicking it off with the Kentucky Derby, of course, a couple weeks later, the Preakness, and then subsequently the really, really super grueling one, the Belmont. We'll see if this is the year that we have a horse in contention for the Triple Crown and whether or not we can get our first Triple Crown winner since 1978. But regardless of that, always a pleasure talking horse racing in the FDH Lounge with, as I said, I think the two finest horse racing minds I know that are out there, Steve Callis and Bob Glassman. Gentlemen, thank you once again for joining us for us, and we'll have to do something subsequently. I don't want to wait till next year to talk horse racing with you guys again because it's always such a pleasure. But thank you both for being a part of this today. Good luck to your horses, and have fun watching the race.
Good to be with both of you. Hope to do it again.
Steve, always a pleasure. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Really appreciate it, and thank you all for tuning in today in the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.